people are reporting physical assaults, death threats, being called anti-gay names, and reporting property damage that is anti-gay related.
The Scottish Executive is committed very strongly to repealing Section 28, and repeal is supported by three of the four main parties in the Scottish Parliament.
A vote on the Civil Unions Bill is expected later this month. If the bill passes both Vermont's House and Senate, the governor has said he will sign it.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Ghana's controversial anti-queer bill rises from the dead. Germany warns trans and non-binary travelers away from the U.S. and troubling signs on the road to repression. Those stories and more this week because you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm David Hunt.
And I'm Melanie Keller.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending March 8th, 2025. Ghana's horrific anti-queer bill is rising from the grave. President John Dramani Mahama declared the bill effectively dead shortly after his January inauguration. His predecessor, President Nana Akufo-Addo, had refused to sign the Promotion of Proper Human Sexual Rights and Ghanaian Family Values until the Supreme Court verified its legality. That ruling is still pending. Mahama generally supports the legislation, but says he'd prefer the measure to come from his government rather than as a bill introduced by members of parliament. Nevertheless, 10 members did that this week with the strong backing of the country's leading religious figures, according to Reuters. What's called under the law unnatural carnal knowledge can already get you up to 3 years in prison in Ghana. The new bill increases that maximum to 5 years for private consensual adult same-gender sex. Here's the really alarming part. It calls for up to 5 years in prison for the willful promotion, sponsorship, or support of LGBTQ plus activities. Make that up to 10 years if the advocacy is aimed at minors. There's no gender-affirming healthcare in the West African nation. In fact, transgender people are not recognized. LGBTQ people have basically no legal protections. It's not clear if President Mahama would sign the new bill if it passes parliamentary muster. Last year, Ghana's finance ministry warned that it could tank billions of dollars in critical funding from the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, and from Western nations. And remember, everyone is still waiting for a Supreme Court ruling about the previous bill's legality.
Germany's government is cautioning its transgender and non-binary citizens about traveling to the United States. It's a clear reaction to the Trump administration's declaration that only two genders are legally recognized in the United States. Germany's Foreign Office advisory says that citizens seeking temporary visas must declare themselves to either be male or female to get into the United States. It further warned, travelers who have the gender entry X or whose current gender entry differs from their gender entry at birth should contact the relevant U.S. diplomatic mission in Germany before entering the country and find out the applicable entry requirements. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio has officially eliminated the X gender option on passports. The American Civil Liberties Union is currently suing the State Department on behalf of 7 plaintiffs challenging the new male or female-only passport policy. Rubio's late February memo obtained by The Guardian tells immigration officials around the world, in cases where applicants are suspected of misrepresenting their purpose of travel or sex, you should consider whether this misrepresentation is material such that it supports an ineligibility finding. That so-called misrepresentation includes declaring a gender that differs from their birth sex on visa applications. It could mean a permanent ban on entering the U.S. The Department of Homeland Security is also targeting transgender athletes. Right before this year's World Pride in Washington, D.C., and ahead of the 2028 Olympics in Los Angeles. Critics fear that the directive will ultimately be used to ban all foreign transgender and non-binary people from entering the United States.
$8 million to promote LGBTQI+ in the African nation of Lesotho, which nobody has ever heard of.
U.S. President Donald Trump's State of the Union address was a record-setting, almost two-hour marathon of lies and bizarre claims. Lesotho's leading queer advocacy group was dismayed by Trump's accusation. The People's Matrix spokesperson, Tamposa Motapang, told Agence France-Presse, "We are literally not receiving grants from the U.S. We have no idea of the allocation of $8 million. We do not know who received or is going to receive that money. We do not have such monies or a contract that would even reach a quarter of half of that money." Lesotho's government is not taking this matter lightly, according to Foreign Minister Lejeune Mpojine. He told the French news agency, "We did not expect a head of state to refer to another sovereign nation in such a manner." An official letter of protest will be delivered to the Oval Office, which Lesotho has heard of.
$8 million for making mice transgender. This is real.
Well, no, it's not. This eyebrow-raising claim during Trump's State of the Union address again demonstrated the incompetence of the administration's effort to slash allegedly wasteful spending. In their zeal to erase transgender people from government policy, they targeted a government-funded study involving transgenic mice. Put simply, a transgenic mouse's genes have been modified to better reflect how human tissue reacts. They are invaluable in biomedical research. CNN fact-checkers found three National Institutes of Health awards totaling less than $500,000 that involved giving feminizing hormones to monkeys to understand their impact on susceptibility to HIV. Nothing about mice at all.
Trump crowed about all his anti-trans executive orders and also targeted diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, DEI, derisively describing such efforts as wokeness.
We're getting wokeness out of our schools and out of our military, and it's already out, and it's out of our society. We don't want it. Wokeness is trouble. Wokeness is bad. It's gone. It's gone. And we feel so much better for it, don't we? Don't we feel better?
Do we?
On the positive side, President Trump's anti-trans efforts were dealt a serious setback in the U.S. Senate this week. Every Democrat voted against the Republican-sponsored Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. The measure intends to ban trans women and girls from competing in federally funded school and college female sports. Trump's executive order to accomplish the same goal is already being challenged in court. The bill was stopped by a cloture vote. That's a procedural motion in the Senate that requires 60 votes to end debate and move forward. The final tally fell 9 votes short. It had sailed through the Republican-controlled U.S. House in January, but has now died in the upper chamber. Democratic Senator John Hickenlooper of Colorado accused clueless lead sponsor of the bill, Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville of Alabama, of trying to churn the social wars. The Human Rights Campaign's Kelly Robinson said, "Bills like these send the message that transgender kids don't deserve the same opportunities to thrive as their peers simply because of who they are."
Finally, more than 11,000 people marched, danced, or rolled down Oxford Street through the queer Darlinghurst neighborhood in Sydney for the Australian city's 47th annual Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras Parade. An estimated 200,000 spectators were there to cheer them on. The traditional Dykes on Bikes parade leaders were followed by the First Nations and first Mardi Gras participant entries. Celebrating the theme Free to Be, people in several parade entries carried signs reading Protect Trans Kids. The nighttime festivities featured more than 180 floats and marching units from community service groups, local businesses, and major corporations. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, Sydney Lord Mayor Clover Moore, and Environment Minister Tanya Plibersek were among the public officials to join the procession. More than 10,000 people were expected to party until dawn at the marquee 8-hour Mardi Gras party rave at Moore Park. The official closing party capped the 16-day Mardi Gras festival the following night. This Way Out Sydney correspondent Barry McKay speculates that political statements were somewhat muted during the parade because of recent Israeli-Palestinian unrest. The most out-there contingent, he reports, came thanks to Vice President J.D. Vance and the unrest in the U.S. A marching band of lesbian, childless cat ladies.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude for the week ending March 8th, 2025. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon and Lucia Chappelle, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the texts of this newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm Melanie Keller. Stay healthy.
And I'm David Hunt. Stay safe.
Our listeners support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online at thiswayout.org.
Thank you.
Between LGBTQ plus inclusion and exile, you can see the same signposts in either direction. The pattern seems to be the same from country to country, culture to culture. Whether the queer community is on the rise or whether rights are being extinguished step by step, three of the key landmarking issues are what you say, how you serve, and who you marry.
Just don't say gay. Gay. Just don't say gay. Just don't say gay.
The state of Florida passed its Don't Say Gay restrictions on what could be said in schools about LGBTQ plus life and history in 2022. It was a sign to many that a 21st century wave of repression was at hand. Of course, Russia's long-standing law against the so-called promotion of homosexuality has been a model for illiberal countries like Hungary. Ghana's controversial bill that was reintroduced in Parliament this week calls for 5 years jail time for the willful promotion, sponsorship, or support of LGBTQ plus activities. 10 years if minors are involved. However, it was conservatives in the UK who put through the first bill to give the world the expression no promo homo. In reaction to the AIDS crisis, part of the Local Government Act of 1988, titled Section 28, said that schools shall not intentionally promote homosexuality or publish material with the intention of promoting homosexuality, and could not promote the teaching of the acceptability of homosexuality as a pretended family relationship. Activists fought almost two decades for the repeal of Section 28 and had high hopes when New Labour took control of the government. A devolving Scotland was beating them to repeal when This Way Out's Julie Carver spoke with Tim Hopkins of the Equality Network in March of 2000.
The Labour government in Britain, which was elected 2.5 years ago, has said ever since it was elected that it would repeal Section 28 when the opportunity arose. And in fact, we now have a devolved government and parliament in Scotland, so it's being done separately in Scotland from England and Wales.
And I understand that there's a Cardinal Winning who has started a large campaign against the repeal of Section 28. What's all that about?
Well, it might be unfair to say that he's actually started the campaign. He was certainly the first major voice to speak out questioning the repeal of Section 28. There's been more of a problem in Scotland from the British religious right organisations. There's one in particular which kind of models the way it works on some of the religious right groups in the States, and they've been spending a lot of money on campaigning against the repeal of Section 28.
What objection can they have to repealing Section 28? Because this is the thing that prevents a lot of teachers helping gay teenagers who are being bullied in school. I mean, why are they against helping these kids?
I think the answer is that really, the reason they're against repealing it is that they don't like the idea of homosexuality, and they're basically homophobic, anti-gay organisations, so religious conservatives. They try and dress up their objections in practical terms. So they say things like that they're worried that if Section 28 is repealed, teachers in schools will start trying to encourage people to be gay, all sorts of nonsense like that. But luckily, I think those kind of arguments are quite easy to counter by saying, well, you know, there's no heterosexual propaganda and pornography in schools now, so why do you think there's going to be gay pornography when Section 28 is repealed? It's not going to happen. The churches in Scotland are quite split on this issue. There are a lot of church people in Scotland who agree with the repeal of Section 28, so it's only the conservative wing of the churches, and I think people understand that what really lies behind it is their dislike of homosexuality, and some of them quite openly say that we're against repealing Section 28 because we believe that homosexuality is wrong, full stop.
Tim Hopkins of Britain's Equality Network was right 25 years ago. Discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity is still born out of hatred and fear, not facts. That could not be more clear as the Trump administration goes full bore, raising the second warning signal of the movement toward the suppression of rights, an attack on how queer people serve in the military. One of the lawsuits fighting the current purge of transgender service members argues that the most recent memorandum proves that the orders are motivated solely by animus. In it, the Pentagon charges that gender dysphoria includes physical and mental health problems and weaknesses in honesty, humility, and integrity that are incompatible with military service. No other mental problems or weaknesses, such as alcoholism or sexual misconduct, could be named. The Defense Department has offered no evidence to back its claims and admits that it does not even know how many active duty trans service members there might be. Activist groups estimate that there are fewer than 2,000 out of 1.3 million. Still, they are being urged to separate themselves from the military by the end of March or face uncertain consequences. A hearing to seek an emergency injunction against the policy is set for March 12th. Rather than foster a more battle-ready military, restrictions on queer service members has led in the past to harassment, abuse, and even death. After President Bill Clinton unsuccessfully attempted to allow LGBTQ+ people to serve openly in the military, the compromise policy known as Don't Ask, Don't Tell was established in 1994. In an interview from March of 2000, C. Dixon Osborne of the Service Members Legal Defense Network described for This Way Out's Frank Stoltz how homophobic harassment had only increased.
We documented 986 specific instances of anti-gay harassment compared to 400 the year before. And what we're finding is people are reporting physical assaults, death threats, being called anti-gay names, and reporting property damage that is anti-gay related. Obviously, the worst incident of anti-gay harassment was the murder of Private First Class Barry Winchell at Fort Campbell, Kentucky this year.
Two fellow soldiers conspired to bash PFC Barry Winchell's head in with a baseball bat while he slept because he was found to be dating a trans woman, Calpurnia Adams. The one who wielded the bat got a life sentence and was paroled in 2020, while the bat's owner, who got him drunk and egged him on, spent only 6 years in jail. Winchell's parents blamed the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy for not protecting their son.
The March 2000 report cited by SODN's C. Dixon Osborne to Frank Stoltz would bear that out.
The Pentagon is criticizing your report today. It says its own reporting system has not recorded an increase in incidents of harassment.
The Pentagon has no reporting system on incidents of anti-gay harassment. In fact, the Pentagon makes it extremely difficult to report anti-gay harassment. The Pentagon has ordered psychologists, inspectors generals, and others to turn in people who are found out to be gay in the course of reporting anti-gay harassment. Thus, the Pentagon is being disingenuous. What you're finding is that there is both a lack of recourse and a lack of accountability. First, service members have no way to report violations of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, Don't Pursue. They can't stop witch hunts. They can't stop asking. They can't stop harassment that they face. And at the same time, the Pentagon has not in 6 years held a single person accountable for violating the policy.
At the same time, I've heard some say that it's important to note that overall, it is better to be gay in the military today than, say, it was 10 years ago. Do you agree with that assessment?
Our clients who've been in both before this policy and during this policy say that it is as bad, if not worse. I think it's important for Americans to realize that the same ban on open gay service members exists today as it did before. The same basis for discharge exists. In effect, it is illegal to come out. There is no other federal, state, or local law like that in the country. And what we have is the Pentagon is firing 3 people a day for being gay, which is a 73% increase over what it was when the policy was first implemented, and still the highest in a decade.
C. Dixon Osborne's Service Members Legal Defense Network is now the Modern Military Association of America.
How the world can change. It can change like that, due to one little word, married.
The third warning signal that LGBTQ plus rights could be in danger was posed by Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas when he hinted that who you have the right to marry may deserve another look. Concurring with the overturning of the abortion rights Roe decision, he said that the Obergefell marriage equality ruling could also be subject to review. Since the Respect for Marriage Act signed by President Joe Biden only ensures that states must recognize the marriages performed in other jurisdictions, the overturning of Obergefell would throw marriage equality back to the individual states. That would lead to a state-by-state drama like the one Heather Zerlock reported on in March of 2000.
Early last month, a Vermont House Judiciary Committee overwhelmingly passed a bill that would establish gay domestic partnerships. The legislature was ordered to take up the issue of same-sex marriage following a Vermont Supreme Court decision last year. The court had ruled that Vermont's marriage laws discriminate against gay and lesbian couples and ordered them changed. Lois Farnham and her partner of 27 years, Holly Puterbaugh, were among the couples that had filed the challenge against the state. Farnham says they went to court to win the same rights as married couples, such as power of attorney.
Our power of attorney, that ends at death. So that if something should happen to me or Holly, and even though everybody says right now that everything's hunky-dory, one of our family members could choose against our present wishes as far as funeral and burial.
If the proposed measure is passed, Vermont would be the first state to allow same-sex couples to share health care and pension benefits, to inherit property without a will, and other rights guaranteed to married spouses. But it also falls short of giving gay and lesbian partnerships the same status as traditional marriages. Representative George Chavone heads the Caucus for Traditional Marriage, a group of Vermont legislators opposed to gay and lesbian unions. Chavone says the proposed measure is a compromise that meets the requirements of the state Supreme Court without officially sanctioning gay marriage. And although Chavone is considering supporting the bill, he would like to see more provisions in it that protect traditional marriages.
Being very honest, we probably, if this had never come from the Supreme Court, we probably wouldn't be in this point of doing this. But since we did get through the Supreme Court, we did get their opinion, we believe that this is a more fair way to do it for Vermonters.
Michael Adams is the associate director of the American Civil Liberty Union's Gay and Lesbian Rights Project. Adams praised the bill, but says he'd like to see it amended to give gay and lesbian couples the right to marry.
But our concern is that essentially the legislature has been unwilling to
grant gay and lesbian couples the same status as married couples. That doesn't mean that the bill is not a step forward. It's a huge step forward, but nonetheless, the progress is not complete.
Chabon says that's what members of the traditional marriage caucus are afraid of.
A number of other people in the caucus believe it's still too close to marriage. The reason that they're concerned about that is that they think that all it takes is a very minor change and it becomes marriage, and we know that that's the ultimate goal.
No state has legalized homosexual marriage. In 1993, Hawaii came close to it when its Supreme Court first raised the possibility of same-sex marriage. But since then, 30 states have passed preemptive laws saying that they won't recognize such marriages if they are legalized in any other state. Adam says the state's anti-gay marriage amendments are unconstitutional.
The time will certainly come to bring legal challenges to those bills, but before we can get there, we need to first establish the right to marry in some states.
He says that depending on the final language of Vermont's civil unions bill, it may give a gay or lesbian couple legal standing to challenge those laws. More than 70 years before the Civil War was fought, Vermont became the first state to abolish slavery. Gay and lesbian rights advocates are hoping it will be just as much in the vanguard when it comes to legalizing gay marriage. And Lois Farnham says that change can't come soon enough. For the sake of their 19-year-old adopted daughter, Farnham says she and her partner would like to officially tie the knot.
So we could each have a tie legally to the child, but we're missing that bridge in the triangle that we can't be legally tied to each other.
A vote on the civil unions bill is expected later this month. If the bill passes both Vermont's House and Senate, the governor has said he will sign it. I'm Heather Zerlag in Washington.
The Vermont legislature passed the Civil Unions Bill in 2000, and its Marriage Equality Act in 2009 made it the fourth U.S. state to offer full legal marriage rights to same-gender couples. If the state-level dominoes were to begin to fall for marriage equality, Vermont would be one state to watch.
Little wheel spin and spin, big wheel turn around, round. Little wheel spin and spin, big wheel turn around, round.
Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. News Wrap was reported this week by David Hunt and Melanie Keller and produced by Brian DeShazer. Our archival correspondents were Frank Stoltz, Julie Carver, and Heather Zerlock. The Carpenters, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Sean Chapin, Liza Minnelli, and Buffy St. Marie performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks John Dyer V of Winston, Oregon, and Richard Murtick and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Ask us about how you can join them. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email us at info@thiswayout.org, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and on WUMD Dartmouth, Massachusetts, 4BI Fortitude Valley, Queensland, KHOI Ames, Iowa, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned, y'all.